We've all had that moment. At least most of us have. You know that moment as a parent, as a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a babysitter, that time when you get handed a child that is kicking and screaming and fighting. And, you know, it's that moment where everything that surrounds them is this love and desire for them to be loved on and to receive nurturing and to find rest. But they resist, they wrestle, they fight. I hope if you've had that moment, you've also had the joy of the other moment. The moment that, like, my great-grandma, the baby whisperer, seems to have, where you hold a baby and they just snuggle into you and find genuine rest. They find peace. It's like everything in the house around them is chaotic, and yet they're able to sleep, as they say, like a baby. The problem is, if we're honest, most of us don't really grow out of those baby moments. No matter what age we are, we seem to have these moments in life where we kick, scream, wrestle, and fight against that peace, that rest, that loving embrace that's offered to us. This isn't really a new story to us. It's one that's been navigated for a long time. Actually, ever since humanity sinned in the garden and was kicked out of the garden, we have walked in a troubled world. But this God, his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he navigated a hurting and broken world, and he came to be victor over that world. He came to offer peace, a place for us to find genuine rest. It's why each week when we gather around the life of Jesus. And so we grab hold of that cracker and that juice that you brought this morning. And as we look at it, we know that it was a body that went through a lot of trial, a lot of tribulation, that we might get to partake in eternal peace. And so let's eat that together this morning. And as you grab that juice, you're reminded, hopefully, that there was a covenant that was promised, and it was the blood of that covenant that would seal the deal, that those who choose to put their identity in Christ would forever have victory over the brokenness of this world. And so we eat and drink of that victory. It's in a new identity that we go on a search for peace. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you over to John chapter 16. And let's just go over and sit down and have a conversation using God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, I'll just give you a heads up that the Holy Spirit is what brought about Christmas in the first place. So it's a good source for us to think about as we walk into the Advent season. In Matthew, he records the Holy Spirit being said to conceive a child inside of Mary. And Joseph, her fiance, the one who was to marry her, he kind of freaked out, but yet he wanted to do right by her. And he knew it wasn't his child, and so he was just going to walk away nicely, humbly. But he was told that, hey, that baby, it was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Do not walk away from this, but humbly walk into this, and God is going to do some very bold things. And so that Holy Spirit that brought about the first Christmas, Jesus has conversations with in John chapter 16 with the disciples. In chapter 14, he starts promising the Holy Spirit. In chapter 15 of John, he says, you can be connected to this triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in connectedness and in relationship with the triune God, you will find life. And so we pick up this conversation in John chapter 16. I want to go all the way to the end in verse 33 where you see this. It says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Do you see it? In Jesus you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. As a follower of Jesus, you have overcome the world because he has overcome the world. So let's walk back in conversation with a triune God through the words of Scripture. It's verse 1 that says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. Now you need to know in a troubled world, it's not if you have trials and tribulations, it's when and how bad. If you look at verse 2, moving forward, it says, they will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whomever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. It's interesting. For those of us who want to walk humbly with the Spirit and find peace, there's no time for victim card. There's no reason to think of ourselves as a victim because we have the presence of God with us. And everything that happens bad around us is because of a lack of understanding and a lack of presence of people being and living with the Father. So look at verse 4. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Do you see it in the text? He says, remember. This is important. This is why we want to walk in peace with the Lord on a regular basis, is because it prepares us when times get difficult to reach back and remember what the Lord has already taught us. And he said that I didn't have to share with you disciples this new thing yet because I was with you. I love that about God, is he longs to live with us, and he'll do whatever it takes to remain with us. And when the time that he couldn't be with the disciples, he found another way through the Holy Spirit to be with them. Look at verse 6. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. We're emotional beings. It's not the only aspect of us, but it's okay to have emotion. Emotion is kind of a metric that helps us walk through life. And it says that you're going to have sorrow as you walk through a broken, troubled world. I was recently in a conversation with this saged ministry voice. And as I was talking with him and learning from him, he reminded me of a lot of great things that I'm just going to share with you this morning as we walk through this text. But as we were having this conversation, this is the type of guy I want to listen to, because he's a man in his 70s and he's still asking the question every day when he wakes up, what type of old man am I becoming? He recognizes that he wants to live with intention the days that he walks humbly on this earth. And he asked this question. He said, a season of suffering is a small price to pay for a deeper relationship with God. Let that sink for a second. Do you honestly believe that a season of suffering is a small price to pay for a deeper relationship with God? The disciples would be filled with sorrow, but it would lead to a deeper, more meaningful relationship with a triune God. Look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's mixed emotions, right? that these disciples are losing something that they know, but they're supposed to anticipate something that is to come that will work in their favor. You've probably been there too. When you think you know the right way to live, and yet the Lord nudges you to live humbly. And you don't want to walk that way, but because you know the nature of God, you go, I'm going to choose humility, trusting that it's to our advantage and God will do something bold through that. Look at verses 8 through 11. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the rulers of this world is judged. Sin, righteousness, judgment. We live in a disruptive world, but the Lord is longing to bring peace to our lives. But it's going to come through a deeper abiding in our relationship with God. And so we have to ask ourselves, when it comes to these mixed emotions and these mixed wrestlings that are going on inside of us, what is the Lord trying to do? Well, those of us who follow Jesus and are trying to navigate a troubled world and find peace within that, we have to ask the type of question this sage voice asked of me. He said, are you leading from a centered soul? That one held me down for a little bit. Am I leading from a centered soul? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and convict, to remind me of righteousness? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to go to work in the areas of my life that need work? Look at verse 12. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is significant. There's still more to be taught to us, but Jesus says you can't bear them now. We need to understand that silence isn't necessarily God's answer. Silence doesn't mean absence. Sometimes silence means opportunity for us to mature so that we're ready and available when the Lord grants us such wisdom. Look at verse 13 through 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, and for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, when you and I choose to rest in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to quit kicking and screaming and wrestling and fighting, and just allow the voice of God to hold us, we find presence. And we find all that the Lord longs for us, and it calms our inner being and prepares us to continue to walk through a world filled with trouble. Look at verses 16 through 19. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of the disciples said to one another, what is that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? And because I am going to the Father? So they were saying, what does that mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Take great comfort. As a follower of Jesus, we're not going to have all the answers. Matter of fact, oftentimes we're going to have more questions than answers. Even those who were sitting with Jesus didn't understand everything that was going on around them. But what I love about this is they continued to ask questions. They continued to search and they continued to collaborate with each other. And do you notice that Jesus didn't leave them hanging? He actually said, hey, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're asking, and well, let me address that. And Jesus longs to do that in our lives as well. Look at verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. This is the great reversal for those of us who have to find peace in a troubled world, is we're going to have these mixed emotions, these stirrings, these wrestlings inside of us. But they help us to provide perspective. And when we recognize that there's this great reversal happening, remember, Jesus has overcome the world. He's the victor of the story. And so no matter what's going on, we find peace when we walk with him, even in times where our hearts and our lives need to be sorrowful and lament. Because we know that even in those places we'll find joy, and ultimately we can always rejoice. Look at verse 21 and 22. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. I wouldn't even try to be the first one to say that I know anything about what it means to be pregnant or to walk through that season of life. But I have been around a few people who have been pregnant. And as you watch them and you learn from them and you see that there are seasons that they go through where things are one minute really exciting and the next minute really painful, and there's growth that happens, we have to ask ourselves, well, what's going on? I love this illustration because, well, we all know that a pregnancy takes about 9 months, but when that baby is finally delivered, and a mom and a dad get to look into the eyes of new life, life that has come from God through them, it produces a joy. And the Lord says that's the type of joy that nobody can take from you. It's the type of joy that he produces. Well, we're using this illustration because life has those types of seasons when we walk through a troubled world. This sage voice asked me this question. He said, are you going through COVID or are you growing through COVID? This season, this 2020 year, are you going to wake up on the other side of pregnancy, and are you going to be able to hold this new life that you've learned from with great joy? Or will it just be another year that you look back on and haven't really changed much? Are you going through COVID or are you growing through COVID? Look at verses 23 and 24. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Do you recognize how much the Lord, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, alongside of their word, alongside of other sage voices in your life, just want to sit down and have a conversation with us? Because it's in these moments where we still all that's going on in the world and we listen and we learn. It's in these moments that it says our joy will be full. It will move us. It will change us. We go on in verse 25 through 28. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Do you believe that? It's part of what brings peace into our being is when we actually believe that God Himself loves us. And that no matter where we've been and what we've done, we have an invitation to love Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to walk through life humbly in a way that the Holy Spirit would embolden us and provide something that nothing else can provide. And that's genuine peace, joy, love, hope, and faith. Let's look at verse 29 through 30. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" I don't know about you, but as I sit and read and reflect and think through this text, I am so joyful and filled with such great peace that I'm not the only one navigating troubled times and having questions for Jesus. But I love that the disciples are able to say, like, "Jesus, I don't understand everything you're saying. Like, I believe you, but your language, it's confusing. Your story, I don't grasp it all." That's the story that we're in, and yet Jesus says, "Do you believe me? Can you take that step? Can you walk into that moment with me?" Well, this sage voice said this to me. He said, "Our effectiveness is directly related to our reflectiveness." Have you taken some time this Advent season to, like, honestly sit down and reflect on who God is, how faithful and good He is, and what He's trying to produce inside of you? Amidst a world filled with insecurities and anxieties and questions and concerns, have you actually sat and reflected on the peace that God longs to offer you? Because it's in this place that we can then go out into a troubled world and actually live effective boldness, the boldness that Jesus walked with. Look at verse 32. "Behold, the hour is coming and indeed has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home." It's like this was written in 2020. Unfortunately, though, it wasn't. It says, "And we will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." 2020 may be hard. It may be different. It actually may even be uncomfortable. But the disciples were going to be scattered to their own homes, and they would be persecuted, and many of them would even be martyred. They were going to walk through a very trying world, and yet Jesus in them was going to change everything. Look at verse 33 again. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trials and troubles and tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Our gospel, our God, was built for these moments, and He wants to indwell us in a way that we are built for these moments. You see, the Holy Spirit was there on the first Christmas. He navigated Mary and Joseph in a way that would humbly bring the Jesus, the Messiah, boldly into the world. And that same Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit that would help the disciples navigate a very troubled world. And that same Holy Spirit wants you and me to consider how we might walk humbly with the Lord, that we too could experience bold, lasting, eternal peace even in our troubled times. So this Advent season, this time that we gather today, I want to ask you just to consider, just to sit and to ponder the promise of peace.